I've titled the message today, From Calling to Action. And the reason that I did this is, I chose that as a title because it represents a natural progression for not only the work that we're doing as a church organization, but also how we are involved as individuals. We all begin as individuals from a neutral state, a blank slate, if you will. We all start by being called. Reading John 6, 44 and 45, we know that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall also be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. The point is that Jesus Christ is working by the power of God, and his life living in us happens only because God wills it. God wills each and every one of us to be involved in his family individually. He knows our names. He knows the count of hairs on our heads. We have read that before. He cares about us deeply. He knows our struggles. He knows our trials. He knows everything that we go through. And he thinks we can do it. He thinks we can be a part of his work, be part of this work that this church is involved with, the Church of the Eternal God and its affiliates. We've been called for a purpose, and that is to help God's work. And one of those things is by helping the work of the church. Now, you and I, we choose what we do with our calling. Once we've been called, that's the beginning point. We eventually wind up becoming baptized. We follow through and take that step, take the plunge, if you will, and we dedicate our lives to God. We say figuratively, God, I'm willing to be part of your family. Let me do that. I repent from my sins. I'm going to live your way instead of the way of the world. And then we have to actually figure out what we're going to do from day to day. And that's where it becomes a little bit more challenging. But we need to do something, and that is the part. That is the action that we need to take. Individually, that occurs, but collectively, as we heard in the sermonette today, it emerges in a very directed way to fulfill in the culmination of the work of the church. We need to be doing something, as we read in James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The point, of course, is that we need to really do something about what we learn. We can't just learn it and go about our business and say, yeah, I get it. We actually need to put it into action. And that's what we do when we join into God's family. We sign up to help the church preach the gospel and feed the flock, which is our commission. Now, it does take sacrifice. The early church that we read about in Acts serves as such a great example. When reading in this, it seems so idyllic that everybody is new and fresh and really thriving, and they've got such tremendous attitudes. It seems like nothing can get in their way. Let's read about what it was like for those folks in the first church. Acts 2:41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 were added to them. Sounds a little bit like the experience that we're having in Germany, right? Maybe it's not 3,000, maybe it's 3, but we are experiencing several people who are hearing the word and deciding to change their lives. But in Acts, this is how they did it. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. There was a collective effort to do the work of God. Everybody pulled in. They had the same goal in mind. People weren't vying for power. They weren't wrestling over who would have the preeminence. They all had an attitude of submitting to one another, sharing everything, so that the ultimate goal could be fulfilled, so that the preaching of the gospel could go out, so that they could do these works, these good deeds. And, of course, they did that so that God would be glorified, not themselves. You can see that. So the work requires people. The work required people then. We wouldn't be here today unless a multiple thousands of years of people working and spreading the word and the gospel would have done their job. Because of people, we are here today. Because of individuals who carried on the truth, you and I have the opportunity to understand in a more deep way than we would have if they hadn't done that. So, for the Church of the Eternal God, I have the opportunity to call out some names. So, we've been working on a lot of marketing and social media efforts. September and Kaylin have been instrumental in this effort, so I want to thank you both. It's been one of the largest efforts, I guess, in the past year. I've seen it because I've been able to watch and help guide and help try to keep things organized. You guys have done much better on your own. It's been really tremendous. And many of you have seen the kinds of things on Facebook in particular. But we are also, we've started building up our graphic kind of presentation. You may see more images associated with our sermons that are posted both on the live stream page, but also on Facebook. But this is just the beginning. This really is the initial steps in our plan. We have plans to try different channels to broadcast our message and I guess marketing really is the key word there. We want to market our offerings so that more people are aware. We want to expand our reach. We want to let people know that the truth can be found here. And marketing and social media is the way that this will happen. So this is one of the biggest areas where I see growth, I think. So that's exciting. Graphic design, Shelley Bruno has been very instrumental, not only now, but for ages. She's been contributing quite a bit. It seems like she's always involved in doing something. Normally it's a booklet, but I've also tried to pull her in on updating the website design. She's truly worked wonders there. And also with a new logo, which you'll see in a bit. We've worked quite a bit on live video. You can see video cameras now, of course. So we have got a tripod that has not been knocked over yet, which is great. But we are broadcasting live video for our services, both in San Diego and in Colorado. And we're starting to get things kind of figured out. You'll always, here and there we have hiccups, there's no question. But we're really trying to make this work. And if you think, I want you to put that into perspective. Live video is Now, one of the most rich forms of media, and we are doing it on a shoestring. If you look at what we're doing here, we've got commodity cameras, we've got a network connection that broadcasts that video stream from the camera out to the whole world using cell phone technology. I kid you not, when we're using these mobile hotspots, so in theory we could be broadcasting from anywhere with live video. The technology that we're using today wasn't even available 5 years ago, especially at the real cheap cost that it is today. We're doing a lot with a very little. We continue to broadcast in more ways, new ways, that we haven't done before. That seemed like it was only possible with a massive television studio. If many of you who are here were part of the Worldwide Church of God, I was not. I only heard stories. But they had a live video production there. But do you know what they required? They had a TV production room. They had huge cameras. They had, I think, some kind of van with a satellite uplink. I mean, that's a tremendous output. They probably cost, I'm guessing, but thinking about how much it would cost to produce a video for one day exceeds what it does easily for what it costs us to do it on for a whole year, and I don't even know. Probably exceeds the amount that we have to spend on producing all the booklets too. I just can only guess, but that's only a difference of maybe 30 years. That's not that long. So the live video is a tremendous bit of work that we're doing. And, of course, we have a website which is in endless cycles of trying to get updated. And Callie Harris, Shelley Bruno, have been instrumental in getting the new website up and running. Shanna, my wife, has been involved with sending out the updates that you get weekly. And, of course, the ministry has been providing technical direction. All of the things that I'm mentioning here are just the means by which we broadcast our message to the world. It really is, we need the content, of course, and we need the direction from the ministry. I mentioned in a previous sermon about the hierarchical organization, and we follow that within our church. The decisions that are made come from the top. Everything follows that model. And you. Kaylin mentioned that the word you is something you should avoid, but I want to let you know that you individually are involved in all of this, in your tithes and your offerings, in your words of encouragement, in your pressing the like buttons, in everything that you are doing. And this church organization, it leads to the fulfillment of the preaching of the gospel. I want to thank you all. Everybody here is involved. Those who are sitting here and faithfully pay your tithes and make your offerings and send notes of encouragement, you are important. To everybody who has skills and who's been using them, thank you. This work wouldn't happen. Think about the wide variety of things that we're doing and the wide variety of skills that requires. We've got it all. So thank you. So what's new is what I also wanted to dig into here today. Over the past year, we have launched a Facebook campaign that has gained momentum. We have weekly posts. Actually, throughout the week, we are posting multiple times, and this is for a specific purpose. It is to increase our reach. And, brethren, when you decide to like our Facebook page, what you are doing is you are extending the reach. People will, your friends on Facebook will see, hopefully, that maybe you like the Church of the Eternal God. It's a simple thing. It's a bit of your identity as a person. It's not something that we require, of course, but It is a bit of your identity that you can share with your friends, saying, I belong to this church, and it's great. And they might become curious. So this Facebook campaign has been, we've been ramping that up. It's one simple means for us to share and use your efforts. Of course, we've begun streaming live video. I touched on that. We did complete a design that unifies the visual identity of the churches. What that means is we've updated the logo. I'll show you what that looks like in a bit. We've also been working on converting all of the content for our website to using a different platform. And this is a significant step over the past, 13, 14 years that this church has been in existence. We've been accumulating articles and editorials and updates and Q&As. There's so much content that we have. We don't want to lose it all, of course, and we can't have people copy and paste that, so we've been automating the process to bring it into the new system. So we've done that as well. That's the big stuff. I'm probably missing a few things. But I want to show you a little bit about these each specifically. For marketing and social media, this is our Facebook page. My screenshot looks a little goofy there, but you can see that we have these posts, which September primarily and Kaylin is backup have been working on. And essentially, every Sabbath we have our church services. We produce summaries, and we try to get these done in advance so that they can be posted ahead of time and so that people know what to expect when they tune into our live video services. And you'll see more content that is posted on our Facebook page. I couldn't resist. All right. We have been working on redesigning the visual identity as well. Over the past year, let me go back, way back to several years ago. When our church started, we needed a logo design. And Shelley Bruno was contacted because she had some of that experience. And she produced multiple versions, I forget, four or five. And there was one that she really hoped people would not pick. And that's the one that people did pick. That's just kind of the way that graphic design works. The one design that you, the designer likes the least usually winds up finding popular appeal. But that is the logo that we know and love and use today. But this design is new and updated, and we've taken a bit more time and diligence to go through several rounds of revision. And again, we followed the hierarchical model where we've produced different versions, and we've received feedback from the ministry, and ultimately this logo will be the design that we use. We really did want to emphasize the focus on the eternal. That was something that Mrs. Bruno had found in her original notes, that the word eternal was something that was very important to the identity of this church. So we boosted it up with an underline here. We also wanted to make this compatible with the German church. As you know, in Germany, we are establishing the Kirche des Ewigen Gottes, and we have a logo, and that translates very, very directly to Church of the Eternal God. So we can see the familiarity and the lineage, I guess. They look like they are the same organization, and that's something that we've been striving for. We have, I think I presented it last time, we have many different websites. We have three different church organizations. We've got here the one in the U.S., the Church of the Eternal God. We have the Global Church of God of the United Kingdom. And that website is in a different place. And we have the Church of God, a Christian Fellowship in Canada. Now, those different names can generally be confusing. We really function as the same unit. We're the same people, the same church organization. So we wanted to work on a visual identity that represented that. So we are working on converging instead of diverging. We want to bring our identity together. So I did show you the Church of the Eternal God logo earlier. That is how we function for our UK and Canadian churches. We will keep the Church of the Eternal God as the primary name, but we need to keep the other names for legal purposes, if you will. So that will be included as a subheading under the logo in an operating as Church of God, a Christian Fellowship in Canada, as wordy as that is. But that will be represented there. The point being that we worked very hard and diligently to come up with some way to design the logo this year so that we can visually look the same and confuse people less. We really want to come across as being unified here. And bringing Germany along is a big part. The church in Germany is growing, of course. We hear that frequently. And because of that, we think it's important to have a similar look in the logo design. So as we progress during the year, this design will first be included in the website redesign that you'll see. It will also be included in the letterhead. And essentially every piece of printed material that we use, we will be using this new logo. Okay, live video. Of course, we have been mentioning this a little bit. We're producing on live stream, and this photograph to your left is what it looks like in Colorado. It is quite a humble setup. And in fact, since then, we've even streamlined further. We don't have two laptops anymore. We just have one. And it's very mobile. It's something that is necessarily that way. We have to pack it up and take it with us every day. And everything that we use to broadcast our services is right there. There's a speaker, there's a mixer, there's a computer, there's a microphone, there's a camera, there's a tripod, there's a podium. That's a converted music stand, in fact. So we can't lean. I think when Mr. Lincoln visited us, he tried leaning on our cardboard and music stand and tipped over. But anyway, it works. It really works. And it comes across as being more impressive than this humble setup actually appears. We are working on the website redesign as well. I believe I showed this to you last time, and we've taken steps since then, and I'll go and poke around a little bit at it for you so you can look at some of the things that we've done. But you can see the logo design in the upper left, and let me do something quick. So this is the website I'm looking at right now, and let's see if I can. This is the homepage. On the homepage, we have a basic set of introductory content. The screen that I'm using is actually a pretty low resolution, so you can't see a ton. But at the very top of the page, we do plan on promoting some of the booklets that we have. And on a regular computer screen, you will see the This Week in the News part of the update. This is a piece of content that we felt would be a very good introduction to what we have on the homepage. You can see that there's two titles here, but that's on purpose. Just kidding. No. We have several things that we're still fine-tuning with the design. Let's see. We also show the editorial and the Q&A as well, a little brief introduction there, and that sums up the main bit of content that you see on the homepage. And, of course, as you know, if you frequent the webpage, for our church. This content is updated on a weekly basis. Now, on the right side, we are presenting the Standing Watch. Since that's weekly content that updates frequently, we have that in place. We want people to see that. Search here is also going to be much improved. This is something that works with an internal database. It doesn't use a third-party service like we do right now. In fact, our third-party service is kind of broken right now, so we're anxious to actually get this website launched so you can search for things. Live services are a very important part of what we do. This is something that we want to present to people. And we also thought it would be a good idea to show recent Q&As, since Q&As often are a nice bit of content that has some longevity to it. We wanted to present Q&As that ask people questions. They intrigue people and invite them into the website. So this is the way the homepage is designed. And further down on the bottom, on the right, we see some booklets. Now, booklets, we call these, in the web world, booklets are evergreen. And evergreen basically means that it is always fresh content. It's unlike a news article, which is relevant for a certain short period of time. A booklet is something that is relevant always. So a booklet is something that we feel very confident about showing on the homepage because it's something that is always fresh. The homepage where people go to is something that should always be fresh. Okay, so several booklets there. Let me show you just a couple other things here. Let's see. I'll go ahead and show you some of the booklets page. Once that loads up here. Hey, how about that? I would like complimentary access, and I agree to the terms. Have you guys experienced this? Let's see here. If you know my room number. You guys want to book a trip? Let's see here. Oh, good. Let's see if that actually worked. No, did not work. All right, let's try that again. So we were going to the booklets page is what we're doing. Okay, so we have some booklets that do require images, but you can see that on the booklets listing page, we are showing the image from the actual printed booklet. Big, bright, vivid booklet cover images you see here. And when you click on one of these, again, you'll see the image, but you have the opportunity to read the whole thing. Let's see. I wish I could hit the back button here. Good night. I think I clicked on the image accidentally. Right, so we've got the whole bit of content here, so you can read the whole booklet if you want. Showing all of the booklet content is kind of an important thing for search engine optimization. We definitely want search engines to pick us up. Now, the sermons. We have weekly services. And today, what people need to do is they are directed to a completely different website, cognetservices.org, to see the schedule and to link up with our live video broadcasts and live audio broadcasts. What we want to do is do away with COGNet services and put all of the scheduling information right here on a single page within the Church of the Eternal God website so that people don't become confused. And, of course, with a unified design, we want to have a unified experience. We don't want people to wind up going a different direction because they are directed to a different web page for the content that they want. So we'll be incorporating the live sermon schedule within the church site itself. We also have sermon archives, and here you will see have the ability to play your audio stream right within the page and download this. When we have YouTube links for videos that have been posted with or sermons that have a video component, you'll see a video component here as well. Okay, and you can page through everything there. Okay, so that's kind of neat, being able to play the audio right within the page is a new feature that actually is pretty simple. And going to the update, that is very much similar to the way it is today. We have the numbered update and the same kind of grouped content that we have today. So I wouldn't say it's a radical departure from what you know about today, but it's much more, it's organized in a better way. It will become even organized even better than you see here right now, but it's in a stage of fine-tuning. We are just gathering together as a group to get things cleaned up. So we're pretty excited about that. We do have the About page. A statement of beliefs here is a nice two-column layout and summarizes everything very clearly. The navigation is, we put a lot of thought into what was in the navigation, what was not in the navigation. Holy days and feasts, very similar to what you know and love today. So we're excited to get this out. Probably me, as the person who's... I feel like I've been dragging this along for years and years and years, but it's going to happen. So that is the new website in a nutshell. I'm really anxious to get your fingers on it. Let me switch back over to what I was presenting. All right, let's go ahead and continue on here. Oh, let's see. Hit the caps lock button. All right. What I want to do is put the work that we're doing into perspective. I'm here telling you about things that require batteries and network connections and cell reception. but I would like to think about the work of God. Historically, what happened in the past? What can we learn about from experiences that we know about in the Bible? I did quite a bit of reading in the Bible in preparation for this this feast. In fact, reading about the Judah coming out of the Babylonian captivity, and in Ezra we read about that. What did the people do when they rebuilt the temple? When they came out of the Babylonian captivity, that's one of the first things that they had to do. So in Ezra 1, verse starting in verse 1, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. This is something that the Cyrus here, he made this huge proclamation. He's trying to gather these people who are just coming out of the captivity together to fulfill a plan to help rebuild the temple. I'm unsure about all the historical context, but I can only imagine that people coming out of a captivity, they have not had a lot of time to establish themselves. They have been uprooted, right? They are without they're finding a new home. They're establishing their own families. And here they are in a position where they are not only doing that, thinking of themselves, but thinking about how they can help the plan and the work of God by helping out with the temple. And it happened. In Ezra 4:4, it didn't happen in a perfect scripted way. They had problems. They really struggled. There were people in that particular environment where they lived who were wrestling against them. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all of the days of Cyrus, of king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. People disrupted it. There were saboteurs here. They did not want Judah to build the house of God. It did not come easy for these folks. Is it easy for us today? Sometimes not. I mean, we finally managed to get the video broadcast working yesterday, right? We, in fact, had some problems getting the network connection working, and we had to scramble and think about how we could get the video broadcast going out. Many of you who listen in online on the Sabbaths wind up experiencing that. As frustrated as you are trying to listen in, it is amplified 10 times. Maybe that's exaggerating, but it's amplified quite a bit on the production end as we try to scramble to get batteries and network connections and things just working the way they should. But we're doing it. We're committed to doing it. We're not going to give up. Satan may sabotage our efforts, but we're working on it. So the process here for the nation of Judah to restore the temple, it really did take time. As we read, they worked throughout the reign of Cyrus to the point where King Darius was there. That was a long time. It took a lot of time. Let's see, as we already read Ezra 4 and verses 4 through 5, they were discouraged. Let's turn over to Ezra 5. This is one I didn't type out here. So let's turn over to Ezra 5 and read verses 13 through 16. All right, Ezra 5, verse 13. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to build the house of God. Also the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple that was in Jerusalem and carried them into the temple of Babylon. Those King Cyrus took from the temple of Babylon, and they were given to one named Sheshbazzar, whom he made governor. And he said to him, take these articles, go, carry them to the temple site that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its former site. Then the same Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. But from that time, even until now, it has been under construction, and it is not yet finished. When I read that, knowing how much effort and time has gone into the construction and rebuilding of our website, that it is under construction and it is not yet finished, I was pretty happy. I've related. I really did. Brethren, ultimately, it was finally finished. Since you're in Ezra, let's turn to Ezra 6 and read verse 14. So the elders of the Jews built, and they prophesied through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Pretty exciting times. Very exciting times. They did it. They finished it. It took years of it being under construction, not yet finished, but they did it. I'll go ahead and read Haggai 2, verses 2 through 9. Now, there were people who came out of the Babylonian captivity who still remembered the former temple, the original, the one that Solomon had built, and the one that David had accumulated all of the gold and silver for, and all of the goods. That temple was plundered. And the people who had seen both temples are addressed here in Haggai 2, verses 2 through 9. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land. And of course, I lose my place as I gesture, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth and sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. This new temple that they worked years and years to restore, if you looked at it, it was not nearly as impressive as the first. But what does God say about it? He says, its glory will be filled in such a way that it will exceed the first. And if we read about the first temple and how God's glory filled that temple, it really was great. But this is going to be even greater. Now, brethren, there are some of you here who have been part of larger organizations. Is not this organization and the work that we are doing, how does it compare? The parallels here are something that we can find strength in. We can find strength that God is working with us. His Spirit is here with us, working with us. He's using this church. He's using you. He's using us. He's using cell phone technology to broadcast the Word of God. I want to talk a little bit about statistics. This is a hockey stick graph. A hockey stick graph is something that you'll see in many different contexts. It doesn't really matter. You'll see it in climate change models. You'll see it in financial models. But what a hockey stick graph does is it resembles a hockey stick. It's long and straight, and then it has a big, sharp uptick at the end. Basically, it represents that things are going just fine for a period of time, and then there's some kind of event that triggers some huge growth in success. It's really exciting when you see a hockey stick graph. But the world will not receive the message in this kind of way. I would love to show you a graph. Well, actually, you know, I take that back. I cannot show you a graph that shows hockey stick growth for our web traffic for the Church of the Eternal God and its affiliated websites. But I take strength in that. In fact, I would say that a hockey stick graph might be an indication that something is not quite right. It might be an indication that there is compromise. Do you know why? I'll show you. Commission of the Church will have a different effect. The commission of the Church is to do what? It is to preach the gospel to the world as a witness and feed the flock. That's what we do. Right? In 1 Peter 5 and verses 1 through 2, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly. This church is to feed the flock. Let me show you something. We're feeding the flock, brethren. This is our web traffic for the past 2 years, and it's flat. You know what that means? That means that the members of our church organization, the people who receive our update, they go to our website to get their content. They are being fed through the content that we are producing consistently. It's flat. We're not seeing huge growth. But what we are seeing is that we don't have a decline. We are feeding the flock with the content we're producing, the work that our church is producing. The orange line is from last year, and this blue line is from this year. We are seeing just a little bit of a hint of people, an increase here. Not a lot. I wouldn't say that's statistically significant. But God doesn't work in statistically significant numbers. He works with individuals. He works with people who have names. He works with people who have hair. He works with people who don't have hair, too. He's got to keep them numbered. It's so easy to make bald jokes. It is. So this represents about 500 to 600 sessions per week. That means somebody going to the website and staying there for a period of time. This is what it looks like in Germany. Here, too, we see a similar kind of graph. Check this out. There are 800 to 1,000 sessions per week. There are more people in Germany that are that puts our work in a seriously different light. I don't even know what to say about that. It's so easy for us to think about the work that's in Germany as being this fledgling kind of new thing, maybe a flash in the pan, but it really is not. We can see some trends already, taking shape. The other part of the work that we do is to preach the gospel to the world as a witness. Matthew 24:14 was quoted in the sermonette. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Let me show you about where our web traffic is coming from. There it is. Everything that has some kind of blue is where our message is being preached. We've got a little bit of work to do in Greenland, Bolivia, a little bit in sub-Saharan Africa. But that's a lot. That's in a year. Are we preaching the gospel to the world? Are we preaching the gospel to the individuals in the world? Yes. Can we do even more? Of course. Of course. But we're doing it. The work that you support, the work that our technical team has dedicated their skills to producing, it's having an effect. It's having an effect that is consistent with the plan and the commission that God has presented to this church. There are workers involved at every level. Mr. Mitchell read Exodus 31, verses 6 through 11, which was about Bezalel, and those skilled workers. Those skilled workers were blessed with some specific thing, some skill that they could do. Wisdom was put in their hearts of those builders to construct the tabernacle. This was a tool that God used for doing his work. What intrigues me about that example as well is that he blessed people with his spirit as well, so that his work could be done in a way that was consistent with his understanding. We know that we cannot understand the things of God unless we have the mind of God living and working within us. We need to be doers of the work. After we've been called, we take action. James 1, verses 22 through 25 states this: "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." I read this earlier, didn't I? I'll be reading it again. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." You can do something. You are doing something. You can do more. I can do more. We can all do more. But don't stop doing, is the point. Participation in God's work is something that is blessed. Luke 12, 42 through 43, we read this. "And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes.'" Brethren, that is you and I. That means that you and I will be blessed if we continue doing the work of God that supports this church.